Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're going to be talking about strength and conditioning again because it is such an important subject, regardless of what your goals are. If your goals are just anti-aging, strength and conditioning is part of the recipe. Before we get started with that, I want to let everybody know that we now have a Superhuman Radio t-shirt, and it's really a cool t-shirt. You know, I didn't want to come out with just any t-shirt with, you know, the name of the radio show blazed across the front of it. I wanted to come up with something different. We worked on some different designs. We got a really cool t-shirt. If you go to the website, superhumanradio.com, right at the top of the homepage, you'll see a link and you can check out the shirt. And I promise you that this shirt will actually make you look better when you wear it because the design is very cool. And you can also show your loyalty to the show. The shirts are $19.95 plus shipping, and the shipping is very, very inexpensive since they are so light. And they're very, very high quality. 6 ounce black t-shirts that you can wear to the gym or out and about, and they're very, very high quality, like everything we do here at Superhuman Radio. Anyway, my guest today is one of my favorite guests to have on the show, and that's Wade Johnson. And Wade is an elite power lifter. He is a master's power lifter. He has been a drug-free power lifter for his whole career, and he is also one of the most sought-after strength and conditioning coaches in the region. Welcome to the show, Wade.
Great to visit with you again, Carl.
Yeah, you know, this is a subject that you and I have toyed with from time to time, just on the telephone, and we've talked about, and that is a training protocol that you've kind of come up with over the years that has worked for you and also worked for all of your students as well, and it's something that you coined the term the WAVE training program, I believe, correct?
Yeah, we just to give it a name, which was the difficult part, we called it the reactive wave method, and while we're not, you know, breaking new ground, it was something to be, you know, that we use as a name to be definitive for what we do, and that's just kind of the way it took us.
Now, you said you're not breaking new ground, but I mean, every training protocol out there is similar to another in one way or another, but there are some obviously modifications, if you will.
Yeah, and I think if there's a point of uniqueness in the training is, as we've discussed before, it's not, we don't think progression in a linear terms as much as we do consistent training. And the basis of that and the basis of the WAVE method is, you know, over a training cycle, especially a long one, you're not going to come in the gym 100%, no matter if you're mentally prepared or not, or if you feel good. There's days that you come in the gym and you're not 100%. And basically, we try to react and we try to adapt to how do we get 100% out of the session, and take what the session gives us, as opposed to forcing the issue, which, you know, usually promotes some sort of injury or burnout over training, and not to mention the breaking down of the mental aspect where people lose confidence and start changing things. So the idea was, how do we maintain as much consistency as possible? And that's how it was born, so to speak.
And that's a big issue as far as becoming mentally fatigued, starting to regret having to go into the gym, starting to be almost anxiety-ridden about your next workout and having to push harder and harder with each workout. But I guess most people feel like if you're not doing that, you're not going to make gains. But that the opposite is actually true, isn't it?
Well, for me, I can give you a great example. This has been a couple of years ago or so. In a decline session, for the first time, I hit 500 pounds for 6 reps and was very pleased. That was a big target. And then for weeks after that, I would struggle. I would get 4 or 5 reps, and with our protocol, we're after 6 reps, as a complete set. And so what I did is I dialed back the weight and went to 455 and did 8 straight weeks. 2 sets of 6 with 455, and I didn't vary. I kept the weight static. After that 8 weeks, I came back and I hit the 500 pounds for six reps with ease, and I've not looked back since. So it spoke of, again, our progress does not have to be linear session to session. Is how are we being consistent? How are we adjusting our form and making it a positive? Because, again, as you spoke with the mental aspect, you bring something negative into the gym and it cultivates more negativity. And if your mental approach is off, then that makes it even more difficult.
You know, I hate to always use automotive analogies, because I kind of feel like it shows that I'm just kind of like a one trick pony. But the reality is, it is anyone who's ever driven a high performance automobile knows that if you get up into those higher gears too soon, you get your engine labors. Even though it has the power, when you throw that shift too soon, your engine labors. And that's kind of what you just described. You were laboring with that, trying to continue at that pace. So you had a downshift for a while. And get your revs up, so to speak, before you could throw back into that gear.
Yeah, and what this generates too is, I guess, a better level of honesty, for lack of a better term, when you know that for whatever reason, is it injury, are you coming off a meet, just day-to-day life, you know, sometimes you didn't eat well, or, you know, you're struggling in some other aspect of your life, and it's really difficult to not bring some of that into the gym. So you have to, there are moments where you have to be really honest and go, am I accomplishing anything by doing, you know, by struggling and missing my goal weight or my goal reps or whatever the case may be, is it more prudent to back off a little bit and wave myself back up, you know? And as you see, that's how, you know, we started developing and coining the term the wave.
So, and before we move on, one question I have for you is, how do you deal with students who allow their ego to drive them? I mean, I'm one of those people who comes into the gym, and I hate the days that I lift light, because I almost feel like people are looking at me and going, God, look how big that guy is, and look at the puny weight he's using.
Well, I think the big thing as a coach, what I have to keep a lifter's eyes on at all times is the goal. You know, the goal ultimately as a power lifter is we're going after a bigger and bigger total. And so it's my job to temper someone's, you know, zeal or, you know, or want to do more and more and more, knowing that it's going to have a negative effect. And then it's my job to convince them that lifting the lighter weight is going to be more productive. So a lot of times I have to use myself, as an example, because while I've squatted nearly 1,000 pounds, I don't walk around every day with the ability to do so. That's something that I have to train for. And I also use myself as an example from my earlier days, where I'm going to train through it, I'm just going to keep piling on weight, and invariably I would end up injured. And so we coined another term that a friend of mine came up with, is that the only bad session is a missed session. If I'm injured and I can't train, then I'm absolutely doing nothing to aid my progress. However, if for whatever reason I'm not having a good session, or I'm a little beat up or whatever the case may be, and I back off a little bit and I get my training in and I take what the session gives me, ultimately I'm making progress.
Yeah, and I learned that from you years ago. The only bad session is a missed session. And it really is very valid. And there are, you know what, and there are days where you go in and you just don't have the steam, and you do what you can. And, you know, you train as hard as you can. I'd like to have a T-shirt made that says that. I train as hard as I can. You know, not set your standards by what somebody else is doing. But it is hard. It's hard to leave the ego out of it, because let's face it, the whole basis for strength training, most of us come to this game with some form of ego deficit that we're trying to fulfill by becoming stronger. And the hard part is, like you said, the word you use is very, very accurate. It's tempering it so that you can continue to make the kind of goals that you want. We're talking today with Wade Johnson, elite powerlifter and sought-after strength and conditioning coach. When we come back, we're going to get deeper into the reactive wave method that he has developed, that he uses with all of his athletes as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net.
Strength, recovery, and growth are the goals, and Progenics is the way. Progenics represents advanced dairy science, research, development, and biotechnology that liberates and concentrates the most effective fractions of protein. The results are increased muscle torque, faster recovery, and greater muscle growth. You won't find these ingredients in any other supplement on the market. Take the challenge. Go to progenexsrg.com to learn more about the benefits and science behind the Progenics products. Train harder than you've ever trained before. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Progenics banner ad to save 10% off your order. Progenics, where fantasy games meet science.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development. A company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitrix EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
Confused about which creatine product to take? Ancient Strength solves that problem. Ancient Strength combines the three most effective forms of creatine, creatine monohydrate, creatine phosphate, and creatine pyruvate, into a single product. Ancient Strength will propel your workouts to amazing new levels. Ancient Strength will give you the strength of your ancestors so you can push through those plateaus, eke out those last few reps that are the most productive in building new muscle. Get Ancient Strength today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Harness the strength of your ancestors with Ancient Strength.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Remember, there's always free stuff at superhumanradio.com. Tell your friends. We've added some things. You can now get a free sample of Crealkaline Pro from All American EFX. Just go to superhumanradio.com. Go down to the area that says free stuff. Click the links for the things that you want to get for free, and the manufacturers will ship them to you, and you never pay shipping and handling when you get free stuff at Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Wade Johnson. He is an elite power lifter in the master's class, drug-free for his whole career, and he is a sought-after strength and conditioning coach. And we're talking today about his training protocol that he has developed over his career called the Reactive Wave Method. So, Wade, just go ahead and kind of outline how the Reactive Wave Method works. We already heard you say that it's a six-rep set that you're shooting for, correct?
Well, it depends on what we're training and how we're training, and that's where it gets a little more complicated. But the basic outline of what we do as far as each week you're going up, 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 up. And then with Westside, where you're doing variances with percentages and things of that nature, we will schedule the wave, where it's like 2 to 4 weeks we're pushing the intensity, and then at the peak of that period we will automatically drop it back. And I'll give you a great example. A couple of weeks ago I was squatting. I have a sponsor that sent me a new suit, new briefs, new material, and so I tested it, and I had 10-15 on my back in the squat, and which for me is a good amount of weight. And so the following week, knowing that I had spent the last 4 or 5 weeks in gear, had been progressively going heavier, and then really jumped up over 1,000 pounds, the following week I went without any suit and stayed in about the 500-pound range. I didn't increase the sets or the reps. The set and rep protocol was the same, but I backed the intensity way off, because I knew with the central nervous system, with my body, with as tired as I was that weekend, you know, that it was one of those things that I planned. When I do this, I have to take a step back and give my body a chance to recover. And so it's more, as opposed to a set and rep protocol for the method, it's a feel thing. When we push the weight that hard, we schedule time where we dial it back down a little bit.
So that's why it's such a broad variance. You said 2 to 4 weeks where you're pushing the intensity. It could be 2 weeks if you're not responding as well. It could be 4 weeks if you are.
Yes, and that as well. If for some reason, like I said earlier, where you reach a point where, you know, a couple of weeks you're struggling, you're not hitting your reps or the weight that has been set, then we dial it back. But if we've really pushed the intensity, you know, especially, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, it's been progressive, then we dial it, we schedule it, we dial it back. And that tends to keep us fresher longer, especially for a longer training cycle, because it's not always set up for 8 or 12 weeks. I've trained 24 weeks for a meet, and that has allowed me, by waiving it, to where I don't burn out or don't get overtrained, or my central nervous system just says, dude, you know, we're shutting down.
But when you add weight, I mean, what are we talking about during this 2 to 4 week period where you're pushing the intensity? What kind of weight are you adding, and are you still staying within the same rep scheme, or are you increasing reps and then slowly adding weight? How does that work?
Usually for me, I've got a pretty set protocol with my sets and reps, with the three lifts. Where I will change intensity is either with adding equipment and weight, or not equipment but still adding weight. And it'll vary for me. A lot of times it's 25 to 40 pounds a week, you know, based on what I'm doing. And so in a 4 week period, you could see a jump from a starting weight to 4 weeks later it being 100 pounds heavier.
Wow, that is pretty intense. I mean, that's a lot of weight to add each week. I think for most people, I mean, obviously, if you are an elite lifter, I guess perhaps your central nervous system is adapted to the degree where you can add that kind of weight easier. I don't know.
Well, for me, and again, that's another one of the things that I have to temper with my guys, is that you can't compare yourself to me, nor can you compare yourself to other guys. You know, you hear about, like, for instance, some of Louis guys who are just insanely strong. And drugs are not, training protocol are not. I mean, these guys are really, really strong, but right. They're also extremely conditioned athletes. So I've got guys that are beginners, guys that are intermediate, and it just takes time to develop that workload. And so that's one of the constant reminders that I have to use.
Do you train to failure?
Never.
Never?
Never.
You think that's a big mistake? I know that a lot of people who are bodybuilder disciplines will train to failure, and a lot of people who are powerlifting or strength disciplines will not. Do you feel that it's a detriment? I guess you really have to make your decision, first of all, what side of the fence you're training on. But once you make the decision, do you feel it's a detriment to train to failure?
For strength, I absolutely do. I think ultimately you have to leave a little bit of something in the gym. It's and the reason why I say that, and that's the, that's not That's not an excuse to not train as hard as you can. But again, it's one of those things. So let's use your car analogy. If you rev that wind that motor enough times long enough, it's going to blow.
Right.
It's not if, it's just a matter of when. So there's different methods to maintain intensity or push the limit a little bit, you know, versus I'm going all out. And again, I think it's one of those things, and especially for me, now that I'm master age and drug free, recovery becomes a bigger deal. It becomes more crucial for me to still maintain progress.
So do you feel that pushing into that failure zone periodically, it hampers recovery?
I absolutely do. And it promotes injury.
Did you ever train to failure in your career?
Oh, when I was a kid, you know. when I was trying to, you know, look huge before I weighed 200 pounds and training bench press six times a week.
Were you really training bench press six times a week?
I mean, it was one of those things. I was 14, 15 years old and had a weight set in my room, and it just seemed like every night I was pumping out reps in the bench or doing dumbbell flies or some sort of insanity, and I just could never understand why I was so sore all the time.
I was just going to say,
when you're a kid, you do that.
That's what I was going to say. The front heads of your shoulders had to be killing you all the time.
and being a kid, again, it's one of those things that, but once you turn 40, you miss when you see these young guys in the gym. I see it today where I will see kids, football kids, high school age training bench, you know, three times in a 5-day period, you know. And you wish that you still had that recovery, you know, ability and the ability to overcome, you know, being foolish, so to speak.
You know, as I listen to you talk about this sort of stuff and something you said earlier, it really, I guess, part of the problem, I think, with most people out there, including myself, is you have to make a decision why you're training in the first place. You really do have to either make the decision, and commit to it. If you're training for strength, you have to follow strength training guidelines, like not training to failure, staying within those rep ranges, adequate rest periods. And I think the problem is that a lot of us straddle both sides. We get in there and we lift heavy, and then we think, gee, I wish my biceps were bigger or my chest was thicker. And then we start doing this high rep stuff in concert with the strength stuff. I mean, when you do accessory work, do you do high rep accessory work, or do you still stay in that low rep range?
Now, for assistance, and again, it's one of those things where look at the word, look at the term. It's to assist whatever lift you're training. For like bench press, once we're done pressing and we start assistance, we go to assistance movements that are going to aid the bench specifically. But we probably do three sets of 12 reps per movement. Not in a body part, but per movement. And these are the things like, rowing, hammer curls, shrugs, those types of things. But we also use moderate weight. You can't, you know, have pushed your body, doing a heavy bench press or a heavy decline and then keep the weight and rep ranges, in the same realm. You won't recover, you will break down, and you will get injured. Where the difference is, as a bodybuilder, we'll do tons and tons of volume. I do three sets of lats, I'm done with lats. I go and I do three sets of rear delts, I'm done. I don't do tons more volume, and I don't do a ton of weight. I do what I can comfortably do for 12 reps.
And you do one movement for those three sets.
That's it.
You pick a movement. I'm going to hit them this way today. I'm going to hit them that way next week, and so on and so forth.
And that's it. It's a pretty. I'm pretty stiff on that. For myself, because I want to train, like, for instance, lats, I want to train them in the plane that I'm going to bench. So I usually do a lot of rowing. And I think and of course we can go off in a million different directions, but with all the pressing that we do, we don't train, the front delts, and we do a little bit of, you know, the middle head, the medial head training, but that's conditioning. We really focus on the rear delts and pumping that area and the rhomboids.
What type of rowing movements do you prefer?
I like something that's chest supported, and the reason why is to save the lower back. I know a lot of guys love the bent over rows,
right,
and they're certainly effective. But again, you're bent over holding the weight. And once I've squatted and once I've deadlifted once a week, again, you know, it's all about what can I do that's going to maximize my session, and what can I do or avoid that's going to, you know, prevent the point of diminishing returns. So I like something chest supported where the focus is going to be on the rowing.
So like a machine type row where you've got
absolutely
your chest against one of those padded chest
sure
things. Okay, I got you now. What about unilateral movements like dumbbell rowing? Do you do any of that sort of stuff?
I don't. I know that people that do, and they do it well. But again, for me, it's about maximizing the movement and taking out a movement that may tax another body part. And again, I go back to the bent over row. Great movement, great for lats. Don't deny that. And I'm not saying that other people shouldn't do it, but I squat every week, and I squat pretty heavy, and I pull every week. And then keep in mind that I do some Olympic lifting and strongman stuff as well. So I have to do everything I can to preserve that lower back.
Yeah, yeah. Do you believe in unilateral moves at all? Do you do anything unilaterally?
I'm a real big fan of keeping things as simple as I can.
Yeah.
Probably the only thing I do, I would say, is like for conditioning, like early on in the cycle, I'll do seated side raises. And that's not exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
But I'm giving you a for instance. But I'll take 5-pound dumbbells, and this goes back to the ego thing, because people will go, you're making all this noise over these little 5-pound dumbbells, and they look like toys in your hands. Well, for the first 20 reps, they are. But you do three sets of 50, and
even if
your hands are empty, it's going to burn.
Yeah.
You know, and how many big, super strong guys do you know when they're having to paint overhead or hold something or
something?
In about 15 seconds, they got to go, okay, I got to shake my arms out.
You know, that happens to me, and I've always wondered about it. I've always thought to myself, gee, you would think that I would be able to resist the fatigue longer, considering how hard I train.
It's a different ball game, and that's why we do the conditioning. But we can spin to a whole different place with this. But we do the seated side raises like that as a conditioning thing, and again for prehab, so to speak, and to prevent injury. Because what I found, if you see pec tears, do you see them where the pec is on the bone in the middle of the chest? Rarely.
Right.
It's that pec delt tie in.
Yeah.
And most of the times, it's not a lack of strength, it's a lack of conditioning.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why we do the high rep stuff. Very lightweight, pump blood, pump blood, pump blood.
All right, listen, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want you to explain how the wave should look for the average person if they're following their own, you know, body, you know, how many weeks forward, how many weeks back, and how it should look. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with elite powerlifter and strength and conditioning coach Wade Johnson. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I can't sleep, we living in hell. Give us the work and they throw us in jail.
Hey.
Road trip, yeah, I'm trafficking the white. Please, Lord, don't let me go to jail tonight. Yeah.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol, a company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
It was summertime in northern Michigan.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Wade Johnson, elite powerlifter, strength and conditioning coach. And if you want to use Wade's services, you can go to superhumanradio.com on the homepage down in the area where it says free stuff. You can get his free deadlift guide to help you increase your deadlift strength. And on that guide is a free coupon for a half-hour consultation. And just follow the instructions in the guide. And you can reach out to Wade, and he can help you with whatever your goals are. And I know a lot of people have taken advantage of that. I've gotten emails over the past couple years since we've offered that up there and praising how Wade has helped people break their own obstacles, reaching their personal goals, and so on. So take advantage of that. Go to superhumanradio.com. Look for the deadlift guide by Coach Johnson and get a free half-hour session by phone for those of you who don't live in his backyard. And for those of you that are there, I guess then they can reach out and touch you, right, Wade?
Always, yeah. I'm pretty easy to find. Since you mentioned that, I wanted to bring up a couple things quickly.
Sure.
I'm launching a new website. I believe I sent you the link sometime back. We haven't officially launched it, but it is called JohnsonStrengthGroup.com. There will be different articles and different things like that, supplements offered. We're relaunching. I know you've asked several times. We've relaunched Ogreware, and we have some new products available, and that's on the website as well. And you can find articles that I've written on House of Pains in the gym section and the Beverly No-Nonsense newsletter.
Yeah, and I remember reading articles in Powerlifting USA that you used to write.
I have written for Powerlifting USA, and I do have some things that I'm working on that I'll be submitting. I've got a couple of projects that I want to submit to Mike. I've also written in the past for Monster Muscle and Power Mag.
You know, I was mentioning about the deadlift. I mean, the deadlift program that you offer up on Superhuman Radio website, is that I forget if that had the reactive wave protocol in there. I think that was just strictly some tips on how to increase your deadlift more than anything else.
Yes, it just very specific on the training. And I guess to go back to what you were talking about before the break, a typical application for the wave for a lifter is, because I know a lot of people like percentages, and I use them as well, but I always go the percentages are a guideline. That gives me a target number to work towards. So in that manner, we are still being somewhat progressive. But, again, it's one of those things that once I get to a point where I know I'm working hard, I'm pushing myself, then I look at a 2 to 4 week period. And, again, this is something where the lifter has to learn to be very honest. I'm pushing. This was really hard. I'm leaving the gym, and I feel really tired. Then go ahead and go next week. I'm going to back it off a little bit. And so if we were to look at that on a graph as opposed to it being a very gradual increase, it would look more like a wave form, so to speak, and as cheesy as that sounds. But I'm going to push up for a couple of weeks, maybe 3, maybe even 4, and then I'm going to back it off a little bit. But the trick is that we never back it off to the starting point of our training cycle. We ease it back to where we go, I'll feel comfortable hitting this weight, my set and reps will stay the same, and then I will push up from that point.
So would you go back like 50% of your working, of your high intensity weight?
It really varies. With my lifters, I won't do that. Like if I have some a lifter that's benching 100 pounds for 6 and struggles for a couple weeks, I'll back it off like the first week to something like 80 pounds. I know they're going to just drill it.
Right.
And what that does is it creates that urgency. Okay, next week, when it comes time to bench, I'm going to be fired up and ready to go. So I increase it, you know, back up to 90, 95 pounds, and we slowly get back on track to where we were going to be, you know, prior to backing it off. I know that sounds a little complicated, but what I have found, and I'll give you an example. I have a young female lifter who's been training with me just a hair over 3 months, and she's very enthusiastic. She really works hard, and she's a go-getter. But she's, by the same token, as fiery as she is, when she misses a lift or misses a rep, she gets very, very frustrated. So what I've done is taught her the wave method as well. And as soon as we achieve that set or a little bit heavier, it'll take a few weeks. But then I'll step back and go, now you remember when 100 pounds for 6 was so hard, and now we've done 110. This is not a race, you know, and it's not often that the hare wins, you know. So, just keep that in mind, is that we're building a very solid platform, and when you take a set of steps, the most effective method is one step at a time. We tend not to fall, slip and fall, and go back to where we started.
So, in reality, one could use the reactive wave method this way. You could be at a certain weight, and you could say, I want to add 5%. If you're if you're lifting heavy already, 5% could be a lot. And you could say, I want to add 5% to this movement, a bench press, a deadlift, a squat, whatever it is. And when I hit that, when I get to that 5%, then I'm going to take the next 2 weeks and back down.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Absolutely.
And then start from that weight and work your way back up above
that
goal.
That's exactly. I would never, like, again, we'll use 100 pounds just as a number. And so the goal is I want to get 110 pounds. Well, once we get to that point, once we've worked our way up to that point, then we'll back it up. Now, we'll never go back to 100 during a training cycle. But what we will do is go back to 102, 104, and then we work up from there. So
I see what
you're
saying.
At the end of the 2 to 4 week period, now we're up to 112. Now we're up to 115, and then we back it off again.
Oh, I like that. And you see, and if you're not training to complete a failure, then you're really staying just behind your strength curve.
That's what we're after, and that seems to be what allows us, one, the best recovery, and my big, big thing is injury prevention. I'm not going to be successful if I can't train.
Now, you know what I've never understood and how the powerlifter does this? You go in and train. Like for me, let's say deadlifts, okay? I generally do five sets of deadlifts. I do a warm-up set, and then I do five sets ranging from 12 reps up to a triple and, you know, progressively adding weight. If I wanted to try a max lift, would I do the same thing, or would I just come in and warm up and then just go right for a max lift?
Boy, you know, that really depends on the lifter. You know, I'd love to be real concise with an answer, but I have found that unless you're really naturally gifted as a deadlifter, then, you know, a couple of warm-up sets and then going, it just never seems to work out. Now, I've trained with someone like Steve Goggins, and I think Steve Goggins could probably play checkers and his deadlift would go up. I mean, he's just
he's naturally strong, yeah.
You know, well, and don't get me wrong. Now, Steve, the times that I've been in the gym with him, trains like a demon. He will hurt your feelings training, not just with the weight, but with what he's able to do. But, I mean, this guy is such a gifted lifter. You know, he can go in and do shrugs and his pull is going to improve. And so I think what it breaks down to is finding a way that is going to, and for me, I'm not naturally a good deadlifter. And what I found for training purposes, if I'm going to, you know, train heavy or if I'm going to go after a single, I have to spend a lot more time warming up. And I do a lot of things versus going in and doing a bunch of reps in the deadlift. I give you a great example of how we pull. I'll go in and I'll front squat. And I'll do five or six sets of that. And then I'll use a trap bar to pull heavy with. And then I'm ready to pull with a straight bar.
Really?
Uh-huh. And what it allows me to do, as opposed to doing the dip, because here's how I compete. When I compete, I've squatted, I've benched, and so when I warm up for the deadlift, I'll do 315 for a single, 495 for a single, and then I'm ready for my opener.
Yeah, I see. So it's almost the way you train the same way you compete, almost, and the same almost the same environment, so to speak.
It is very, for me, in the success I've had and with the people that I've coached, you have to be very specific.
You know, I got to say this about you. I think you're very modest, and I'll tell you why I say that. Because you held a powerlifting event here in Louisville at one of the Kentucky Muscle shows, and during the pole meet, after the top deadlift was completed, now keep in mind that you were on the sidelines kind of officiating and judging and stuff like that. After the top lift was pulled, I remember you walked up to the bar, grabbed it, and just pulled it. And a lot of people, a lot of people cheered you, but there were other people who were like, oh man, look at this guy showing off. Do you remember doing that? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I think you're very modest because you were not warmed up, and I want to say it was above 600 pounds, and you grabbed it and you just pulled it.
I don't remember what the weight was, but it was one of those things where the competitive aspect. That's the hard thing when you're at a meet, and especially when you're the meet director. You know, there's no outlet. You get all jacked up. You're watching your friends. You're watching people, and then there's invariably, and you know this as well as I do. There's always someone there that knows you that starts talking smack.
Yeah, right.
And then the next thing you know, it's like, all right, I'll kick off my shoes and pull in my socks.
I'll never forget that.
You.
It was the end of the deadlift match, and they were getting ready to unrack the bar, and you walked over and you just grabbed it and just stood up with it. And like some people cheered and some people jeered. It was just funny.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll finish up the show. We're talking today with Wade Johnson. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder.
Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Strength, recovery, and growth are the goals, and Progenix is the way. Progenix represents advanced dairy science, research, development, and biotechnology that liberates and concentrates the most effective fractions of protein. The results are increased muscle torque, faster recovery, and greater muscle growth. You won't find these ingredients in any other supplement on the market. Take the challenge. Go to progenexsrg.com to learn more about the benefits and science behind the Progenix products. Train harder than you've ever trained before. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Progenix banner ad to save 10% off your order. Progenix, where fantasy games meet science.
Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising. Confused about which creatine product to take? Ancient Strength solves that problem. Ancient Strength combines the three most effective forms of creatine: creatine monohydrate, creatine phosphate, and creatine pyruvate into a single product. Ancient Strength will propel your workouts to amazing new levels. Ancient Strength will give you the strength of your ancestors so you can push through those plateaus, eke out those last few reps that are the most productive in building new muscle. Get Ancient Strength today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Harness the strength of your ancestors with Ancient Strength.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Hey, Wade, how do you like the music?
It's a change. I'm digging it. There's a lot of different genres there.
I got all these mashups that I created, and because my daughter, who is like has a very eclectic ear, she lives in San Diego, goes to school there. My daughter Taylor, she was complaining to me. She's listening to my show, and she goes, "Dad, like the music you have on is girly music." And I was like, you know, because I'm playing like Beyonce, and you know,
sure.
It's like. And so she sent me a bunch of music, and that made me, like, inspired me to start changing the music, because she said, you know, you really need more unique music. It's such a unique show. So I got all these good mashups that I'm going to be rolling out. I got literally a few hundred mashups that I'm going to be rolling out on the show to
good
try to change
idea.
It. Yeah, it makes it more fun when you listen to the show and you're getting something good out of it, and then you also get a great tune to listen to in between.
Absolutely.
You know, but anyway. I got to ask you a question. I always hear people say that your back is the foundation for your bench press. Do you really flare your lats when you bench press?
I think the upper back is probably, to me, the most crucial. You'll hear other people go triceps and certain things. It's obviously a combination of several things, but I spend a lot of time training lats, traps, and the rear delt rhomboid area. Now, when we bench heavy and decline heavy, which is twice a week, we keep it to three sets. But on my off days, Wednesday and Saturday, I'll do auxiliary work with very lightweight, and the focus is lats and traps.
Interesting. Do you think any machines translate over to the actual lifts? Because a lot of people want to change up, you know, they'll do their lifts, but then they'll do accessory movements with machines. Do you think there are any machines out there that do translate over?
As far as the three lifts are concerned, only for assistance. I mean, I'm not big on using the Smith machine to bench or squat, unless there are times where there's a good application for that, but that's usually with beginners. Once someone can hold a bar and squat it or hold a bar and bench it, it's, again, the training is very specific. So I like sticking with the barbell.
There's a machine at my gym, and I want to say it's called a body sport or body something, and it looks like you squat in it. It's got these two pads that go over your shoulders.
Sure.
And it's plate loaded.
It'll blow your legs up.
It does.
But I'll give you a great story. I was judging a meet in Knoxville, and this has been, was last year sometime, and was watching a guy warm up and struggling with a weight that concerned me. So I went to the meet director and asked what his opening weight was, and I was like, this guy's going to get killed. Well, long story short, he bombed out of the meet, and I won't go into any details, but he came and spoke to me afterwards, and he told me that he could leg press it with something like 1,200 pounds, and he was just certain that would equate into a 500-600 pound squat. Well, as both you and I know, that's just not true.
Yeah.
And so it really comes down, especially with strength. I mean, at least this is my opinion. You must be very specific.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I won't even tell you the amount of poundage I've put on a leg press machine. It looks really cool. It's fun, and it's impressive, and it will add size to your legs, but it ain't going to help you squat.
You know what? I can put 8 plates and a 25 on each side of that that squat machine. I know I can't squat 8 plates.
Right. It's great for developing, you know, developing your legs, and there's certainly you're going to gain some strength out of it. But again, until you get under the bar and squat it or hold it in your hands or pull it off the floor, I mean, it's just not the same.
Do you know that why I don't squat right now? It hurts my shoulders to hold the bar. When I hold the bar and stabilize it across my traps, the front heads of my shoulders just start screaming. I mean, I got something going on with my shoulders. They're out of alignment. I don't know if it's the rear delts aren't strong enough. I've got some sort of muscular imbalance. But when I get underneath that, and this was never a problem for me years ago. Back in 2005, I was able to do it. I was more flexible or something. But now, when I get under that bar, and it's just everything I can do to get my shoulders far enough apart to grab it. Like right now, I'm doing it while I'm standing. And it's like putting my hands in the same plane as my ears. And man, my front heads of my shoulders just go, okay, that's enough of that.
Right, and because I'm a gear junkie, I love the toys, but I have a cambered squat bar that allows you to have the weight on your back, but you can grab it at the side, and then I also keep a safety squat bar in the gym where you can just, you know, you have the pads on the shoulder, and you can hold the handles in front.
I've seen those. I would love to try one of those, because I know I can squat more, but it's like the pain in my shoulders becomes so distracting, I just want to get the bar off my back.
Right, and that takes people. I have a friend that that very reason is why he quit squatting in competition.
Because of his shoulders?
Absolutely.
I'll be damned. I thought it was just me.
Nope.
It's like, you know, and it got to the point now that even my wrists start hurting because I don't bring my shoulders far enough back, so now my wrists are taking the beating, trying to, you know, torque them into place to hold on to the bar. And, you know, I mean, I can squat 4 plates pretty well, you know, but it's just, I get down there. I mean, I know I was squatting more than that in 2005, so I'm sure I can get back up there. But I've had to just, I can't keep the bar on my back without being in pain. So I started using this here body sport, whatever it's called, this squat machine. The thing I do like about this thing is this. You can lean back You know, you can lean back
right.
on it, and you can really hit your hams and your glutes really, really hard, because you can lean back and literally do what Louis Simmons says, act like you're going to sit in a chair. You can
right.
really do, because it kind of tethers you a little bit. You know what I mean?
I know a lot of people like it. I've heard it called, like, the true squat machine. Somebody's got one of the manufacturers calls it that, and that is a very popular piece right now.
Yeah, because the only thing you don't have is the side-to-side stabilization,
right.
because you've got that weight on your shoulders. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's
right.
all on you. So, yeah, and I like it. It's the only thing I can do right now that doesn't bother my shoulders. So, but, yeah, other machines, you don't think any of those other machines really translate to anything?
I would rather see you do a variance. Like for squat assistance for us, once we get done with our competition stance, we go to a close stance and or a very wide stance. And all we're doing there is changing what the primary mover is, but we're still squatting. We're keeping it a multi-joint movement. We're not going to the leg press or the hack squat, leg extensions. We're keeping it a multi-joint movement.
Right.
And I just... You know, when we pull, we do some things like stiff legger. We'll pull for speed with some bands and chains, and that's really the only movement that I'll put any of the gadgets on. But we use the trap bar a lot. We'll use a thick bar some. We'll pull off blocks, things of that nature.
I really like the idea of pulling off blocks. After you explain to me the deficit in pulling from pins on a rack, that the bar is already bent, that you don't have the same inertia coming off the ground as you do coming off the pin.
Changes the
lift
leverage.
Completely. You're right. You're right. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. Now, talking about the deadlift and stuff like that, are you still deadlifting? Are you focusing on your deadlift? I know you're focusing on your squat, right?
Everything. I focus on everything. I hit each lift every week. We bench one day, and 72 hours later, we decline. Then following bench, we'll squat. 72 hours later, we pull. And so the big focus right now for me is making sure I'm getting in shape and getting ready for a meet.
Do you bench and deadlift on the same days?
I'll give you a quick schedule. Mondays we flat bench, Tuesday we squat, Wednesday is an auxiliary day, Thursday we decline, and that's where it's 72 hours later,
right.
and then Friday we pull.
So you squat once a week and you pull once a week, but you bench twice a week.
Yeah, and excuse me, but what happens is on that, the reason why we only squat once a week, again, is recovery and saving the lower back.
Yeah.
The lower back is such a small muscle group, and of course, you've seen me bench, so for a big guy, I've got a pretty extreme arch. So again, it's one of those things where I have to do things that are going to, you know, help protect the lower back. And when we, with the decline bench, it's not like we're benching twice a week with the flat bench. The decline, we bring in the grip and make the triceps a primary mover, but with that angle, it takes the shoulders out. And with that, makes it a much safer way to make triceps a premium. Again, using a multi-joint movement over an isolation single-joint type movement.
Go ahead and give your website, your new website again.
The new website is johnsonstrengthgroup.com. There is a link on there for the forum and the current website, which is weightliftingdiscussion.com.
Okay.
And we're going to be revamping the weightlifting discussion website as well. But this one's a little more personal, and ultimately will feature some lifters in my training group and things of that nature. And we're hoping to feature some of the people that post a lot on the weightlifting discussion forum as well.
And then you can always go to superhumanradio.com and the free stuff, and you can download Coach Johnson's guide for deadlifting, increasing your deadlift. And you can also get a free half hour session with him by phone, or if you're in his city, in person. So check that out at superhumanradio.com. Wade, as always, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me, Carl. It's
okay.
Always a good time.
And we will see everyone tomorrow. Thank you, as always, for listening to me talk. See you later.